Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. This is Patty Valenzuela, the senior pastor of Ignite Movement Church in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining me. I hope this helps you and encourages you and helps you become all that you were created to be. Enjoy the message.
Welcome back everybody to the Patty Valenzuela podcast, and I might as well welcome you back, Patty, from India.
Yep.
It's your second, third trip to India, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. This was our second time that we actually went. The first time we went to Mumbai, and we did a women's conference there, and it was called the Women of Honor conference, and it's honor of, you know, vessel of honor, and it was just such a powerful thing. We did that in Mumbai, and now we went to Delhi, and we really pioneered that because there was a lot of pastors. Most of the people actually there were pastors' wives and leaders from churches. And so I don't know if you're aware, but it's such a pioneering thing because mm-hmm. India is, you see the woman and they're very oppressed there. Many women there, you know, they just really don't come out, if you will, of their shell. They're just oppressed. I heard a story when I was actually in the airplane that he's a father there in India, and he was asking me a question like what I'm doing and everything. And he said, oh, that's great to see that there are women that are stepping up and becoming a voice for Indian women. He says, because at one time, it was so bad, the oppression, that it was, you know, if a woman was pregnant with a female, they would want to abort her.
Wow.
And, awful. Because the man is the one that carries the line, mm-hmm. you know, the name. And so when women are just very oppressed. And so it was really, truly remarkable to see all those women give, you know, themselves to God fully. There was so much deliverance and so much healing, and not just in their bodies, but also in their spirits and in their hearts. So, you know, we just pioneered that. Delhi was very, very different than Mumbai, but it was just beautiful to see. And I got to minister to thousands and thousands of young kids as well. They were 12th graders getting ready to graduate. So I got that opportunity as well. So it's just really powerful. I plan on going back to another city in the future. So I'm excited about that. And I just thank the Lord for what he did there in Delhi.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. It's definitely a far cry from El Paso, Texas. But that's super exciting. I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, future trips to India. I'm sure you are as well.
Yes.
But we have... You were mentioning right before we started the pod,
yes.
something that you've been wanting to share for a while now, and that's on unity. I know we touched on it we've touched on it in previous podcasts just a little bit.
Yes.
How in a lot of cases the body of Christ isn't unified like it should be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do know you, and I know that that's something that if you want to help fix for sure. So, what are some of the things that you've been studying when it comes to unity?
I just want to thank everybody, first of all, for listening to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
and you know, make sure that you comment and like. We want to hear everything that God is doing through these podcasts. And I just thank you, you know. I thank you for a lot of the responses that I'm getting. I hear people that are just, you know, there's a transformation that's happening. It's really helping them, you know, throughout the week. Some people have expressed that they didn't know a lot of stuff about me. And so this last podcast that we shared, so... thank you so much. Continue to just like and subscribe and follow us and, you know, keep commenting. I want to hear questions too, right? David, they have an email now that they can go to.
Right. It's the Patty Valenzuela podcast at gmail.com. And you can send your questions in there. If you want to send, you know, what God's done for you or how you were impacted, share any testimonies. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, I want to hear questions. Like, if you want me to share anything, I'd love to hear that. And I'm excited, David, because we do have a women's conference, and I'm excited about that. It's coming up. It's coming up in the dates for that is going to be in September.
Yeah, let me pull and, that up.
And it's going to be super, really super powerful. So if you are a female, any age, any stage, please go and register and go find out. September the 7th, actually, Friday and Saturday, September the 7th and 8th, I'll be doing the last session. And super excited. We got people coming from out of town, hearing from the state of New Mexico and just different parts. And so I'm super excited for what's about to take place. And so please just go and register. Follow me on Instagram and you can get all the information there. It's like a minimal fee and it's just going to be powerful. I believe that women, it's really a time prophetically for a women to really rise. And, you know, as you said, David, I think the power of unity is just such a powerful thing. I think, you know, if you don't know my background, I think that that's really key, because I mentioned it in Passionate Pursuit, my book. That's how it pretty much evolved from a lot of disunity and a lot of division. And, you know, I believe sometimes that, you know, we sometimes are dealt a bad hand in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't come from the most united family. I didn't come from, you know, I have fought that spirit of division for a long time in my life. And even still now, I think it's not something that I could say, oh, we've mastered it. I think that there's always a spirit of division that and disagreement that the enemy will always, you know, try to fight you, whether it be in your family, your marriage, your ministry, in any area. And so my book, actually go and read it. If you know, I talk a little bit about that at the beginning of my first chapter. And, you know, I came from a lot of division in my home life. You know, we weren't really a united family, if you will. And most families aren't, you know, there's always that disagreement in one, and there's always that one. And so I'm in pursuit. I have not mastered it myself. And so by no means can I sit here and say everything in my life is united. Yeah. I have seen the spirit of division. I have seen it countless times in my own personal life, in my own family. And so it's something that I've been in pursuit of. And I fight for that. I fight for unity. I fight for peace. And so you're right. I've been studying it, the power of agreement. And the Lord really took me to Malachi 3.
Right.
And such a it's interesting, because Malachi 3, we use it for tithes and offerings, if you will. You know, God says to Israel, you've robbed me. And they ask, well, how have we robbed you? And then God says, the whole nation has robbed me. And that was such a powerful statement for me, because I thought, what, the whole nation has robbed you, God? You know, that's pretty interesting. You know, it's like, you know, maybe you're listening and you're a pastor and you're trying to win your city, or you're trying to win a nation, or you're trying to win your family, or maybe you're listening and you're trying to win a son or a daughter for God, or maybe you're a son and you're trying to win your family, your father, your mother. And but yet God makes an interesting statement in Malachi chapter 3, speaking of the tithe and the offering. And he says, you know, you've robbed me, but you, the whole nation has robbed me. And so when I started studying that, it was really interesting, because, you know, he's what really God is talking about there. He's talking about a corporate agreement. He's talking about the power of being in agreement together, the corporate blessing. You know, there's such a thing as being blessed individually, but there's also a corporate blessing.
Right.
So when there is, when there's unity in the family, unity in is the father, the mother, the kids, when there's unity in a church, that there's a corporate blessing that's released upon the people. And so that's what God is saying through this Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He said, there's a bigger blessing than the individual blessing.
Right.
There is a corporate blessing. And so he says, this whole nation has robbed me. And so he's like, you can't go as high as you would like to go. You can't go to the higher dimension of the blessing, if you will. And then he says, that's why you're cursed. So if you look at that, it really, division brings a curse.
Yeah.
That's why it says that a house divided can't stand.
It can't stand.
Yeah. So there's a corporate blessing, but there's also a corporate curse.
Wow.
That's, and so when you have a corporate blessing, it's because there's a power, that's the power of unity. But when there's a curse, to remove the curse, there has to be a corporate unity. That's why the enemy will fight you with everything he's got to make sure that there is division, that there is disagreement, and he will create any opportunity to bring division. He will create, you know, any kind of, you know, discord in the family, discord between, you know, mother and daughter, mother and son, father and son, and father and you know, and son and daughter. And so the Bible says this, one of us can chase 1,000, but two of us can chase 10,000.
It's an exponential multiplication.
Exactly. See, it makes sense to go, one of us can fight 1,000. David, what's the next number if two of us come together?
It would be 2,000.
Exactly. But he says, one of us can fight 1,000. Two can fight 10,000. That's the power of a corporate blessing.
Right.
So if you can find people that can agree with you, that you know, he says, you'll be able to chase 10,000. And so if I can bring, that's the fruit of the union. The fruit of union. And so the enemy's going to do everything he possibly can to bring disagreement, so that you don't operate in those dimensions, so that you don't operate in those dimensions in your house, so that you don't, you know, have the corporate blessing, if you will, even in your ministry, or even on the job, right, or in your business. You know, you go to the, even in workplaces.
Yeah, exactly.
So much discord.
You can gain so much when you're working with someone else. And you know what the good thing is? Well, it's what makes it difficult, but it's also what makes it good is your strengths and weaknesses are different than mine.
Yeah.
And the way we communicate might be different. But if we learn how to communicate with each other,
yeah,
and we learn how to see things from different, like I can see things from your point of view and you can see things from my point of view, then we have a broader scope of things that we can look at. Yeah. And it's like, that makes sense. We are a body of Christ. And it's like, well, not everybody's meant to do certain things.
Yeah.
But if we can all work together, it's like we can really, who knows what we can do, you know? And I mean, yeah, this takes like a sense of selflessness, know that I'm like, say I'm invested in, you know, Saul, our producer, I'm invested in his success and he's invested in mine. And then we'll do much more. But if I'm only solely invested in mine and he's solely invested in his, then
it's the thousand, mm-hmm, but you can do the 10,000 if you come together. And I think, you know, to go along that point, I think it's so key because, you know, you said something, sometimes, you know, you could see things from my perspective. And a lot of times the enemy will use nitpicking things.
Right.
But we have a corporate agenda, you know, which is, let's say in a church, mm-hmm, to win souls,
right,
you know, to save the lost, to bring people to the fullness, to deliver people, to heal people. And so we have that corporate, you know, idea, if you will, or vision together. And so the enemy will come and it will be little nitpicking things. And, you know, that word disagreement, you know, comes from the word division. It comes from the word discord, division, meaning two visions. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not, you know, Amos says it best. He says, two can't walk together unless they agree. Mm-hmm. And so the enemy doesn't mind us coming together. The enemy doesn't mind us coming to sing together. And you know, he doesn't mind that. But what he can't stand is that when we come together in unity, in one accord, it happened in the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they were all together in unity. And it says that the power of the Holy Spirit came down because they were all united. As a matter of fact, it says that their churches grew exponentially. They would grow in the thousands because that was the power of agreement. And so when you come together, nothing will be impossible to you. Mm-hmm. And when you come together, you'll go from natural to supernatural. You really go from one dimension. Forget levels. This is about dimensions. That's the power of agreement. And so the enemy's really after our agreement. And that word agreement comes from the word harmony. Harmony in opinion, harmony in feelings, harmony in even the way you position yourself to do the next. And so, you know, it's us coming together and just going, okay, at the end of the day, you know, what is our vision? At the end of the day, you know, it's like a team. Mm-hmm. I think you even gave me the example of one of your favorite teams.
Right. Yeah, there was a few years ago and they were just focused on team basketball. It was for those of you who are sports fans, it was the 2014 Spurs championship team. And they were just, they may not have the most talent on their team, but they just destroyed everybody because yeah. It was all about working together. Wow. It didn't matter if I scored the most points. Like I wanted to make sure that my teammate was getting the passes that he needed. I needed to make the pass to him. Wow. And because of that, they just destroyed everybody. And it was great to watch because it wasn't like, there wasn't a superstar on the team. Like,
so good.
A lot of these guys were older already, mm-hmm. but because they were selfless, they were able to go through teams who had much more, they had bigger names for sure.
Yeah, and I think that requires, unity requires humility.
Lots of humility. Because I think like, it's easy to say maybe we have a vision. Like it's, our goal is to accomplish, you know, win people to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And we have our church's vision and stuff, but I think it's easy for that to get perverted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know, you've brought 10 people to church. Well, I'm going to bring 15. You know yeah. what I mean? And it's like, yeah, we're working together towards a goal. But
the motive.
Are we really working together towards yeah. a goal? Like we're working separately towards the goal and the motive is not there. And well, it eventually shows itself.
It does.
And well, I mean, that's all too common, don't you think? Like,
I do. I think that sometimes, you know, we have to look inward. Mm-hmm. If we really want the corporate blessing, if we really, I don't think there's a person that's listening to me that wouldn't want the corporate blessing.
Right.
I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to step into the 10,000, you know. And so I think, and Jesus even said it, if any two agree, about anything. And so that's the power of agreement.
Yeah.
If any two people agree about anything, it said it shall be given to them. So you need to find people that are in agreement with you. And so it takes me to really Joshua, because you can't talk about the power of agreement without Joshua chapter 6. And you know the story. And he's marching around Jericho. And see, Joshua, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He was such a warrior. And he was such a militant kind of guy. He hated to lose. He was a man of faith. He wanted to win every single battle. You know, people of faith want to win.
Sounds like a man for sure, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Picture him, just raw guy. And he always wanted to win. He never wanted to lose. And so he goes before God. And so God gives him a principle and a strategy on how to possess Jericho. And so he says, you are to, this is how you're going to do it. And strategy is everything. And he said, you are to march around Jericho. And you march around it once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh time, on the seventh day, he said, I'm going to bring the entire city down. And then he says something so important. He said, but the whole city belongs to me. God said that. Mm-hmm. He said, that city belongs to me. In other words, it's like what you read about in Malachi. He said, the whole city, do not keep anything to yourself. In other words, the spoils don't belong to you, Joshua. They mm-hmm. don't belong to your soldiers. They don't belong to your men. It belongs to me. Everything. Don't keep anything for yourself. And then he tells him, I'm going to give you the victory. I promise you. And so Joshua obeys the Lord. He marched around the walls of Jericho. He marched every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, he marched seven times. When God said shout, the priest blew the trumpet and everything came down. The whole system came down. And so think about that. That's powerful. But God tells him, this is holy though. I don't want you to take anything for yourself. And so they took the city and all of it, you know. And so there's this one person out of that whole group, one brother. You know, there's always that one. And the Bible says that one brother, he saw this Babylonian garment. And he saw this gold.
Babylonian garments. They always get people.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? God won't mind. You know, God does. Nobody's going to miss this garment. Mm-hmm. He thought in his eyes it wasn't a big deal. And so he takes the garment. He's like, nobody's going to know. He's like, nobody's going to miss the garment. And so he sees this beautiful garment. And he's like, I got to have it. Mm-hmm. He sees the gold and he starts, you know, gathering all the gold and silver. But he's like, he's supposed to take it back to the house of God. God said, this is the tithe. I'm going to give you guys crazy victories. I'm going to take you guys to a next dimension. And I promise you, I'm going to give you the promised land. And I'm going to give you the land. He said, but do not take anything for yourself. I'm giving you Jericho, but do not take it for yourself.
Jericho was the first fruits of the promised land.
Correct. And so here he is. He said, so they're getting ready. And this is Achan is his name. You know, he takes it. And he gets this Babylonian garment. He hides it. He takes it back to the tent. He gives everything else back. But he hid it in his tent. And so it didn't stop the destruction of Jericho. But when they're getting ready to fight the next battle. And so here they are. Jericho was a big city, by the way. So they whipped it with no problem because God had given them the victory. Except here comes Achan, hides the garment. And so they get overconfident. And they're like, we got this. You know, we got the next town, you know. So they go and they send, you know, let's send a couple of people up and then we're going to take, AI. And so we're just going to go up against them. And AI, the Bible says, beats them so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, bad. They were fiercely and ferociously beaten. Bad. Like it was one of the worst battles for Joshua. And he lost. And so I love Joshua's response. He's ticked because he's a man of war. He's a man of war. He wants to win. He's in it for winning. And so he throws a fit. He throws a fit because that's a man of faith. Right. He's like, wait, God, you gave me the victory. And he's mad. And so he's like, I didn't expect to be defeated. I didn't come this far. And so he's really shocked. He's like, how could I'm in it for winning. I mean, I think we're all in it for winning.
Right.
I don't know anybody that's listening to me that's not in it for winning. We all want to win. And so, it's like, it's so funny because when you come into agreement, this is such a powerful story because, you know, when you take ordinary people, because David, these people were farmers. They were not people of battle. Joshua's taking a bunch of farmers into battle. God gives them Jericho, which was a huge city.
Yeah.
And so they were ordinary people, but they did extraordinary things.
Because they came into agreement.
Exactly. Until they get to this next battle. Mm-hmm. Because one guy was not in agreement. Well, one guy.
There's that saying that you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Exactly.
So,
but, you know, ordinary people can become really extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so here's, he's ticked, you know. I mean, Joshua's mad. He's coming up against Ai, and so, you know, should have been whipped. He should have whipped him because it was a smaller place. It was, he should have defeated him with absolutely no problem. But he throws a tantrum and he's mad. And so God talks to him and he goes up before God and he says, you know, what is up? You know, God, you need to tell me why I lost this battle. Mm-hmm. And so he said, God tells him, go sanctify the people. I'm going to tell you why you lost the battle. You lost the battle because one person failed to honor the covenant that I gave them. Because one person out of all of you, there's one that is in discord. There is one that is not in agreement with you. And there's one that didn't do what you were called to, you know, what I told you to do. And so here's this one guy, right? So he puts everybody into sanctification, you know, and he's upset. And when Joshua found out what, you know, he'd worked so hard, like, think about that for a moment. You worked so hard. And nobody expects to lose.
Right.
You expect to win. Joshua worked tirelessly to win that battle. And so he's mad. He goes, and the Bible says that he started searching from every tribe. And he's going, who? He went to every family member. He examined each of them to find out who stole. Who's the one that stole? Who's not in agreement with me? You know, I've got a vision. God gave me a plan. God's speaking something into my life. I'm taking you guys into the promised land, but there's one of you, you know? And so I'm trying to take you to do extraordinary things, but one of you is fighting me. And so, you know, it's like Jesus, you know, he's sitting at a table and here's all the disciples. And he's, can you picture this? They're all having dinner and they're all having, you know, dinner with the master, the teacher, the savior of the world, you know, the great I am. The bread of life, the living water, the morning star. They're sitting there. Here's this Jesus who's about to just give his life up for these people. And he's sitting at a table and he's looking around at the table. And he said, one of you is going to break unity. And all these guys are looking and like, is it me? Is it me? It was Judas. It was across the table with Jesus, staring at his face. Peter going, I'll never. But he says, one of you is going to break unity. And you know, when you look at that, it brings a curse. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that Judas, you know, was, he hung on a tree and he was cursed and it brought a curse. That's why there's so many curses in churches and so many curses in marriages and so many curses following the lineages of our children. And we have to fight for unity. Mm-hmm. And when I say we, I include myself. We have to fight to be united as a family. We have to fight because, you know, it's division is such an ugly spirit. Mm-hmm. It is the spirit of Satan and Lucifer. It goes with pride.
Well,
and so
I would even say that the fall is because of a lack of unity.
Yeah.
Because they weren't in agreement with each other. Like, they didn't adhere to what God told them to.
Yeah. And I believe the root of it is pride. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you agree? Pride was the root. He wanted to be bigger. He didn't agree with God anymore.
Right.
You know?
And because of that, they were disconnected from him.
Exactly.
Like,
and it disconnects you even from the presence of God. It disconnects you from the plans of God. It disconnects you from even the corporate blessings. So the enemy does everything he can to bring discord in churches and, you know, to just discord within families. And so I love Joshua's response. He goes into every tribe and he says, be honest with me. Who was it? Which family member did this? And Achan stands up and he says, I've taken the accursed thing. Look what he says. I've taken the accursed thing. Wow. It wasn't a curse. It was a blessing. But it turned into a curse.
Right.
And so he said, I should have given it to the house of the Lord, but instead I hid it. And so there's actually people that are not prospering that are probably listening at the sound of my voice. And they're not prospering because there's a disunity. There's so many families that are up under a curse because they're not in unity. And so, you know, if you think the power, I love Gladiator. That's one of my favorite movies. And there's a scene when there are a bunch of gladiators. They throw them in this, and I think all odds were against them. And so it was supposed to be some battle. I can't recall. And they were supposed to lose, and they were all supposed to die. So they throw them in this, the gladiator, the arena. And I love the gladiator. He says, has anybody ever, any of you fought in the, you know, been a Roman soldier? And some say, well, I have. And then he starts giving him instruction and strategy. He says, whatever you do, he says, you know, and he brings them together. He said, you know, we are stronger together.
Right.
And then he calls them, you know, I don't remember the words he says, but he starts yelling it, and you see all the shields and they all come together and they end up winning a battle. But all odds were against him because there's power and we can do extraordinary things when we're just a handful of people.
Right.
And so, you know, here's Joshua. And so he goes into every tribe and he's like, is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Are you breaking unity? Is it you? And he starts calling, you know, and it's crazy what they did to them. They called the family out and they actually stoned the family. Yeah. I mean, they stoned
the
kids.
We're not advising stoning. No. That's not us advocating that at all.
Oh, please, no, don't stone. There's Hug enough stoning going around.
Hug it out.
Yeah, don't. But
forgive and do all that stuff. No stoning.
Please, just come into agreement. No stoning. But I think it's just, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. God just does the things that he does. But, you know, and God tells them, go back out. Now that you're in agreement, go back out to the place that you were defeated at and fight again. And so he's like, you were disobedient, you broke covenant with me. And he's like, but now that you are coming together, God gives them a strategy. Mm-hmm. There's power in strategy. And it isn't until they come together that God gives them a strategy. And it isn't until they come together, you know, that God really starts to tell them exactly what they're going to do. And so God gives them the entire strategy. And he says, this is how you're going to do it. And so they really trick AI. And so AI is looking and screaming, going, they're a bunch of cowards. They're running from me. And he thinks that they're doing the same thing the first time, the way he had defeated them the first time. But really, God had a strategy for them. Mm-hmm. But they were all together now, you know. And so it was, you know, God was navigating them into the greatest successes that they could have, you know, ever had. And so that's the power of unity, the power of being in one accord. You know, they took an entire city. And look what God tells them, David. He said, now that you've taken the city, he said, the spoils are yours. The spoils are yours. It's all yours. Yeah. He said, the next one's all yours. And so God was trying to make a point, you know, the first one is mine. He said, this next one is all yours. That's the power of agreement. I mean, look at the spoils. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're listening to me and you've lost a lot of things, you know, but really the next one and the next fight, if you can come into agreement and alignment and position yourself and posture yourself in alignment with what God is doing now, in alignment to where your pastors perhaps, you know, want to take you, or in alignment with even you getting aligned with what God is doing. And so I love on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were all in one accord. Not one person deviated. People would sell their stuff. People were just coming together because they had one corporate vision. And the problem with church today, I think, is that the power of agreement. And so it's so strong. I think it's so strong. I believe that anything that you touch, it becomes yours. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, think about a couple, think about a marriage, think about a church. What does it look like when there's just a power? You could take a city.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this before the podcast. We've said that love never fails. We know that that's the case. And then we also know in John 15:13, it says, there's no greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friend. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're dying or anything like that. But I can put my, you know, selfish desires behind, because I'm invested in your success.
Yes.
And you'll do the same for me.
Yes.
And then Saul will do it for somebody else. And we're all doing that together.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, what kind of love can that produce in a ministry?
It's powerful.
And then, like a side note, I heard someone say once that, you know, God says if two come together and agree, he's like, all he wants is two people to agree, but apparently it's so difficult.
Can you imagine?
It's like, I only need two of you to agree, and you guys can't even get that done. But it's possible. It can be done.
Yeah.
And then another scripture, I mean, it seems like it's obviously a common theme, but in Colossians 3:13-14, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. Let me repeat that. Forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And it's like, well, I mean, what would you say some of the enemies of unity are, like, in someone's life? And how can we fix that? I mean, well, I think that scripture kind of tells you love would be the one that fixes it. But what are some of the enemies of unity?
I think, you know, in my own personal life, because I can speak for myself and what I've walked, I take a look at myself, because sometimes, you know, people don't want the best for you.
Yeah.
So I have to run with the right people, mm-hmm. because somebody can be like, oh, yes, you know, I want the best for you. And then they don't want the best for you.
They want the best
for themselves.
For themselves.
And there's a selfish motive behind that. And there's, you know, jealousy behind that. And there's, you know, pride behind all of that. So I believe that first of all, we can't be fooling around with a bunch of Judas. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be fooling around people who are stealing our dreams and stealing what you know, and just, you know, feasting with Judas. I just can't do that, you know? And although Judas was there and he was part of the plan, and I know we say that, but technically Jesus knew it all along. Somebody's going to betray me. And yes, God uses all the Judas, you know, to for your good. And I'm not saying that you're going to get rid of everybody. And I'm not saying, you know, but I think that who you run with, they have to be in it for your own benefit, first of all. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, I believe that sometimes people don't come into agreement with you because there's been hurt.
Right.
And there's been pain, and you may have caused it. Like, I may have been the cause of pain in somebody's life. I may have had a bad day. I may have made a mistake. I may have been an error. And then all of a sudden, somebody holds that against you. And so the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And there's only one Spirit. Paul said it best. He says there's only one Lord, one Spirit. And we should be one mind, one body. God is not divided. You know, he's given us the Holy Spirit. And so when there's a spirit of division, sometimes it's bitterness. The Bible says that the spirit of bitterness comes to defile many. Mm-hmm. And so you start to defile many people. You know, it likes to bring discord. Wickedness loves company, Proverbs says. And so you start to bring discord. You start to, you know, speak bad, criticize because, you know, somebody's, you know, hurt you. And I think that we have to forgive, mm-hmm. and we have to let the past be the past. And how can I get past this? Well, you have to heal properly. You have to let go of what was and then seek transformation. A lot of people tell me this. I was just coming in right to my office to just today, and somebody said to me, a couple of people actually, I was outside and they said, and talked to them that, you know, they're, you know, I haven't had a chance to really sit and talk with them. And they just said, Apostle, can I just tell you something? I'm like, yeah. And they said, you're transforming.
Yeah.
You are not the same person. And so as long as you see the transformation, if you know that God sent you to that particular place, you're the leader of that particular place. They came against Moses. They wanted to throw stones at him. You know why? Because they were just like, oh, the journey, the way. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people fall out of vision with you and into discord because of the way that they've walked. They're like, they're tired. They're tired of hoping, you know? So unforgiveness could be bitterness, resentment, you know, murmuring, complaining. Pride is another one. You stop being grateful for your leadership.
That's a big one. And I don't know, maybe this is just like my personality speaking, but I feel like a remedy for that would be like the prophetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where, you know, like say, I've heard someone say once that they would see someone and maybe they didn't feel like the best feeling about that person. Like they had suspicions. And they said the way that they got over that is they would look at the person, like a picture of that person, and they would wait until they felt, they would ask God to give them like the affection that he had for that person, like let them feel the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, say maybe, let's just say, for example, you hurt me in the past. It's like, well, like I was going to meditate on him. Like, God, like, how do you feel about her?
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, well, I feel X, Y, Z about her. And then it's like, well, that kind of changes the situation. You know what I mean? Like, and then like my favorite scripture is mercy triumphs over judgment. And it's like, he doesn't want to judge. People have a misconception of God where they think like he wants to, you know, go judge. All Old Testament on you and, you know, but that's not what he wants to do. You know what I mean? He wants to be merciful to you. And it's like, well, if he wants to be merciful to me, then I need a desire to be merciful to other people as well.
Yeah.
And I know that in the past, to say, for example, like I upset somebody and then, you know, they've shown me mercy in return for my mistake. It kind of like creates a bond there where you're like, man, that was like really powerful thing that you did. And then you kind of become grateful to them, not like indebted, but you know what I mean? Like you're just like, you're willing to then kind of do it for somebody else. And I mean, I think of that parable where, you know, one man was forgiven and then he didn't forgive the other guy. And God wasn't having that. He wasn't a big fan of that whole.
And love is the key. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the scripture you just read. You know, love binds everything. And going back to love, and, you know, scripture says that many, many people are going to wax cold in their love. And we're seeing it. So you're going to see more and more division, mm-hmm. and you're going to see more and more discord. And I think that if anything, we have to really have this, you know, love and go back to the love of God and how God sees them. And I think if you're listening to me and there's a marriage that you're like, well, how do I come into agreement with with my spouse who perhaps, you know, isn't in agreement with the things of God, you know, how do I do that? You know, and I think you have to see that person, mm-hmm. Through the eyes of God, to fight, you know, for that, to, you know, how do I come into agreement with, come into alignment, first of all, with God. Mm-hmm. That's key. When you come into alignment with God, not so much with people, but like what God is trying to do and come into alignment with his agenda, mm-hmm. it's easy to be in alignment with everybody else. It's easy to come in unity. Most of the time when people, there's discord, it's like, who sowed that seed of discord? It wasn't God. Yeah. It wasn't the Holy Spirit.
It's something that he hates. It's in Proverbs 6. He hates
who sow
discord.
Yeah, he hates it. He can't stand it. It's an abomination to him. He says he hates it. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of God hating something. And so I think when you have that discord, you know, you have to ask yourself, where did the seed of discord start? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm in agreement, but sometimes you have to just walk away from certain relationships because they're not for your betterment. They're not taking you to heaven. So I have to make that point.
Yeah.
You know, they're not taking you to heaven. They're not leading you in the right place. You know, there's something behind that. And God has already exposed it. God spoke to you. You know, you've had people counsel, and God is with the counsel of many, your plans succeed. And so you have to make sure that you're in the right, you know, because sometimes wickedness loves company. And
right.
so sometimes, you know, you have all the people that are, oh, well, we're all in agreement. Yeah, you're in agreement for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You're in agreement, you know, and you've got this little circle going, but you're not agreeing and in alignment with what God is saying, you know. And I think another thing that I just want to say and clarify is that we have to leave people room for growth without fear. That if somebody maybe is not in alignment with you, that we have to allow God to let God deal with that person and leave room for growth and pray diligently until you see the breakthrough in that person. Till you know, but I think it's something that we should all strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is just a beautiful thing. And I think when you have the Holy Spirit, David, I have the Holy Spirit, God's going to speak to you. God's going to speak to me. And if I'm wrong, then God will convict me. If you're wrong, God will convict you. And that's the beauty of mercy. And that's the beauty of forgiveness, that you can come and say, hey, I was wrong. And that's the beauty of humility, that if I own it, I'm sorry. I messed up. But we have an ultimate agenda here. Let's mm-hmm. keep working together. The Bible says it, you know, that you know, knives, you know, sharpen knives, mm-hmm. you know. And so we're going to sharpen each other. But that doesn't mean we're going to just, you know, we might have a bad day.
Right.
But if you have the Holy Spirit, you're humble and you search for unity, the Holy Spirit's there and the Holy Spirit will make sure that you are united.
Absolutely. And there's I started a new job and we have a training manual. And like the first page of that training manual, it says, you may not be the best at everything, but if your teammates know mm-hmm. that you're full of integrity and that you're working hard, they'll be okay with the fact that you have may not be like the best at a certain thing, and they'll be willing to cover that.
Mm.
And as long as you're willing to cover them. And it's like, man, that's like so true. Like, I know that, well, again, Pastor Andy's like, he understands this concept. He's a police officer.
Yeah.
People in the military will understand these concepts. People in sports, maybe, like if they had a healthy culture in their team, will understand these concepts.
Yes.
And it's like, you may not be the best at something, but all I need to know is that you're in this for me, you're in this for the team, and you're willing to try hard.
Yeah.
And then it just creates like a really quick bond. And then, you know, if maybe you are struggling with something and I come to encourage you, I mean, like, if I speak those words over you, like, you can do it. Like, I know you got this in you.
Yeah.
Those words have power.
Yes.
And like, I mean, what an amazing thing if we could have that, like, as a cultural thing in the church, like, speaking life over each other and believing for each other. And being able to have healthy relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And
And that's powerful because, like, I as you're talking, I'm like, you know, think about here's Joshua. And I'm like, he didn't want the bad for Achan.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the best for the families. And I think when you pray you know, and you seek God, and the person has right motives, you know. But I think disobedience got Achan. Mm-hmm. You know, he thought, oh, well, Joshua's not going to give me the spoils. I'm not going to get to where I need to go.
Covetousness
and a lot of thoughts, mm-hmm. a lot of thoughts, because the thoughts come to divide. And so maybe thoughts of, I'm not going to get this promised land. You know, the way God took us, yeah. Moses, you know, those people ended up just defeated. Some died mm-hmm. by the wayside. There's so many people dying spiritually because they have disagreed. People have heard them. I can't tell you how many people come to our church and they've come from other churches. And I always tell God this, David. I always say, God, you know, I hear so many stories of people that have left the church, or, you know, people that are hurting and people that have left. And, you know, I myself that have hurt people. I have, you know, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I say to you, I've never hurt anybody. I've made mistakes in the past. And then you just go, God, forgive me, you know, and give me an opportunity again to be able to speak into the life of that person. Then I hear other stories of like, well, I came from another church and it divided and this, that, and the other. And it's so sad. And I tell God, I make a covenant with you that you're my standard. And I want to be like Jesus and Christ-like, and like, keep transforming me, keep putting love inside of me so that I can be that voice. And I don't close the church and I don't, you know, mm-hmm. do such and such, because people are hurting. And I think it's just, we have to just stop being so divided, even in the body of Christ. My church is better than yours. And, you know, and only we, and this, and the we, it's like, listen, we're a body of Christ. That's corporately.
You know what I think is, it just popped into my head right now, and I could be wrong, but I believe like in the Old Testament, it prophesies that Jesus would be beaten, but he wouldn't have his bones broken, and there wasn't like any sort of dismemberment. Hmm. So although he was beaten, his body was never torn apart, and it was never completely broken.
Wow.
So it makes me think like the body of Christ, like, I mean, we're going to get beaten.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're never going to get broken, and we're never going to get dismembered.
That's
like, we'll never be completely torn apart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the pain's going to come, you know. It's going to be there, but we can work together. And the way we're going to do it is through unity. You know what I mean? His body stayed united.
Yeah. So. There's a scripture. It says, rend your heart, meaning open your heart. It says, but don't rend the garments. And mm-hmm. so, in other words, don't tear it apart.
Right.
But open your heart. Let God deal with the heart issue. Is it a heart issue? I mean, think about, you know, and those that are listening to me, like, is there a seed of discord in any area that the enemy is trying to bring? And so our job is to fight for that unity. You know, what can I do in my life? I humble myself, first of all. Mm-hmm. If there's any pride, search me, God. What can I do to bring unity in that area? And then work towards that and really ask the Holy Spirit to remove the discord, to remove the disagreements, and maybe talk about it. You might have to iron some stuff out. You know, it doesn't mean we're doormats.
It's not easy. It takes some courage to maybe confront, I mean, in a healthy way, to confront someone about some problems that you have. It's not like, if you're afraid of, you know, saying like, hey, you know, Patty, like, you offended me this day, or, you know, this is something that bothers me. It takes some courage, I mean, because I don't necessarily know how you're going to respond.
Yeah.
And, yeah, healthy confrontation, that's a big one. That would be a good podcast.
Very.
But yeah, is there anything that you would want to say to anybody listening to this, maybe who has been hurt by some sort of, maybe by a leader, or maybe they have discord in their heart? What would you tell them?
I'd say that, you know, look inward and really analyze, is there a seed that was planted? Was there a thought that you meditated on that the enemy is using now to bring that type of division? And again, I say this because this is important, the last days, you know. Don't go looking for people that will tell you what your itchy ears want to hear. So mm-hmm. we have to be very careful with that too. We have to know that, like Moses, we knew that God called him, you know, and he maybe had anger mm-hmm. and he hit the rock, and God's like, you can't do that. You can't lead people like that, you know? And I've had my share of encounters with God where it's like, you can't lead the people like that. You got to lead them with love. And so, you know, when you see the transformation of your leaders, then there's a trust, because there has to be a trust issue, you know? And so if you're listening and there's a seed of discord in your family, there's a seed of discord that has been planted perhaps in your life, that you would search your heart and that you would humble yourself and that you would say, God, I'm sorry. You know, if I need you to speak to me, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will convict you.
He's talkative.
Very. And so I would say to you, fight for unity, whatever that means for you, mm-hmm. whatever that means for your children and you, whatever that means for your spouse and you, whatever that means for your church and you, whatever that means for your workplace or your business and you, whatever, you know, you can to bring that type of unity for leadership. You know, it's I think it's just so key with your sisters, your brothers, you know, and I think sometimes I do think that there has to be a distance sometimes in relationships because yeah. I think, it's, you know, it's just like there's no way I can follow that.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be careful with that, too. But I think if you're listening to me and you're just like, how do I bring unity into a family? How do I bring unity with my children? And I think it's something that you fight for. I'm learning it. I'm learning it as I go along with my children. I'm learning. I'm not this perfect mother, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to go. No, I'm learning it. I'm learning how to deal with the issues and, you know, teaching my children how to forgive, you know, teaching my children, you know, how to move on and get past things. And so I would say to you, you know, cast out the spirit of division, mm-hmm. cast out the spirit of discord. What is the enemy trying to gain with that? You know, because you have an ultimate goal and there's a powerful blessing that's behind this. And so you have to fight for that. And I think that, you know, any form of witchcraft that has come in, any form of, you know, discord, division, Jezebelic spirits, you know, spirits of rebellion, stubbornness that sometimes lie in the heart with that seed of rebellion,
right.
With that seed of discord and division will come rebellion. Witchcraft, search your heart. Is any of that stuff come in? You know, where you're now making an excuse and saying, well, you know, they hurt me, so now I'm going to go to the world. Hey, listen, that shouldn't be an excuse
right.
to go to the world. So I would encourage you, search yourself, search within, you know, come back in alignment, first of all, with God. You know, when you get in alignment with God, you'll see that things start to fall into place. What is he saying? Maybe you're divided with God and you're fighting God. You've got a stubbornness now and you're fighting God.
Offended towards God.
Bend it towards God and you just come back and humble yourself. Mm-hmm. I would encourage every listener, if there's any seed of discord, you know, humble yourself. God is calling you. He loves you. He's got a great plan for you. He's looking for people that will come together. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why he always sent them 2 by 2. You can do great and extraordinary things. You won't do natural things. You'll do extraordinary things together. Fight for it. And humble yourself and just go, God, search me. You know, I do that. I do soul search. And it's like, you know, forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better apostle. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better, you know, everything, you know, and you're my standard, Jesus. You know, man is not my standard. God is my standard. Jesus is my standard. And he's so merciful. And I'm like always telling him, David, you know, fill me with your love. I want to be so full of your love so that I can guide people that way. And give me your wisdom to know how to guide people. And so I have to go soul searching. I have to humble myself and I have to go, God, I fight for unity. I fight, you know, to love people, even the unlovable, even the people that hate you. And it's like, you know what? I love you. And maybe we don't have a relationship, but I love you. And so I think that that's really key. And so if you're listening, I want to do a prayer real quick.
Sure thing.
You know, I just want to pray for every person. And there's a seed of discord. And I feel that real strong right now. And I just feel that healing wants to come in. Just right now, even I feel it in my hands. I feel that there's a healing that wants to come in into your life. And so I just want to lift you up in prayer right now. So wherever you're listening from, just right where you're at. I mean, I just declare over your life that the spirit of unity will invade your home. I just declare over your life that the spirit of unity and the spirit of agreement, the spirit of God and the spirit of the Holy Spirit will start to invade even your heart right now. At the sound of my voice, that if there's been any seed of discord, any thoughts that the enemy has come and put and planted and you've been meditating on it and it caused now division and discord and now you have thoughts of leaving. Listen, I just want to encourage you right now that you would repent before God, that you would say, God, I'm so sorry. And I just declare that that spirit that came in and invaded, I just right now would nullify it and I just yank it out and uproot it in your life. And I just right now just renounce it. Just say, I don't want that in my life. I don't want the spirit of Lucifer. I don't want the spirit of division in my life or my house, because the house divided can't stand. I don't want it. I just rebuke it. I order it out of my life. And so I pray for you right now, and I just declare and I release the spirit of unity, the spirit of love, the spirit that comes to an alignment, an agreement, like the spirit of in the day of Pentecost. And I just declare that starts to invade you right now. I declare that the love of God be just flowing, whether it's your car or wherever you're at right now. I just declare that God is invading you, that God invades you, that you would go and that you would humble yourself. I just pray that the spirit of humility would come and invade you, that the love of the Father would come and invade you, that right now, that every seed of discord right now would just die and completely wither and dry up in the name of Jesus. And I just call that the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of God and the spirit of the Holy Spirit just go and invade your heart, your mind, your body, your home, your family. I declare the spirit of unity just invade even your relationship with your children, your relationship with your marriage, in your marriage, the relationship with your loved ones, your relationship even with pastors and leaders. I just declare that spirit start to invade, and the spirit of peace and the spirit of unity, and that love would start to bind and heal, and that everything that is hurting in your life or pain, that you would just let it go, and that you would just forget and let the past be the past, that you would forgive right now. I just declare a spirit of forgiveness just touch you, and that you would just move past that, and that you would get healed properly so that God can bring that unity so that you can go into that exponential power of blessing. I just bless you right now, and I just declare that God is dealing with your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Wow. What a podcast. But we're really glad that you guys joined us this week. I think we'll be closing this one up now. And remember, you can always follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. We have Patty Valenzuela. She has her own personal pages. We have Ignite Movement. If you want to give us a follow, Ignite Movement Youth. And we just hope that you guys enjoy these messages. Remember, we do have an email. It is the Patty Valenzuela podcast at gmail.com. Send us your testimony. Send us information about like what happened to you when you listened to this message. Send us, you know, testimonies. Send us, you know, reviews. Leave us 5-star reviews if God's been doing something in your life. And we're so glad and thankful that you've listened. Remember that Patty has a book, Passion and Pursuit. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. Yes. Barnes & Noble, you can find it there. It's in Spanish and in English. I believe that there's going to be other versions translated soon enough. And we're really excited that you guys are listening. And do you have any parting words before we go?
I just want to bless you. And I declare that the spirit of unity is something that you are in pursuit of. And thank you. And please, please send your questions. What would you like me to talk about? Is there anything in particular subject that you're just like, can you emphasize on this? Or I'm doing some DVDs, David, I'm really excited about it. And I'm doing entire DVD sets and CDs that will come out soon. And it's just the power of how to get completely healed and walk you through that process of healing. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, send your questions, please. I'd like to hear about you.
All right, guys. Well, we can't wait to read what you're going to send us. And we just hope you have a blessed rest of your day. Send this link to somebody who might need it. And take care. See you next week.
Thank you for joining me. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate us and share with your friends and family. Leave us a comment and let us know what God has been doing in your life. Connect with me on my Instagram and Facebook and check us out on our website, www.ignitemovement.org. Links down below. Until next time.